You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, we're going to one of my favorite segments, but right now technology is going to be like, all right, the wunderkind over here. Boomer is going to be running buttons like left and right. So the Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, Phil Williams Grand Council that we do every week is going to be slightly different technology-wise because we got to flip back and forth between phones because they both called in this time instead of doing the usual connectivities. That being said, let me just call the roll. Do I have you want me to do that one? Okay, I got you. I see Boomer's going to give me the – do this one first. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are. Thank you, brother, from FM Talk 106.5 and the executive editor of 1819 News. Wait one while I switch phones and talk to Dale. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Hello, Sergeant on duty in Washington, D.C. Ready? Hello?
We're glad of it. All right. Dale Jackson from WVNN, program director, morning show guy, and also writes for Yellowhammer. Boomer, I do pronounce that we have a quorum. I assume that means you have a sound effect. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. We have a Grand Council. Grand Council, it has been assembled. All right. So fellas, I know you guys can hear me, but you can't just talk at will right now because Boomer's having to run back and forth between phone lines. It's something about the way our technology is set up. I'm gonna kick it off with Jeff first. Jeff, first question for the crew. What you got?
As you may know, Dale and I are at a radio event in Washington, D.C., and as these things go, we have these congressmen come out and talk to us. And a couple of congressmen have handed me the card, the Commitment to America. It sounds good. It's all the usual Republican standard issue stuff. My problem is with it, I'm very skeptical. He wants to get it excited. Do these boilerplate type things, is there any reason to think this is what is going to make the difference in the 2023 midterms?
Well, I tell you what, I'll jump on that first and then go ahead and flip Dale on too so we can get his answer next, Boomer. But yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. I agree with you. First of all, it feels very boilerplate. So far, everything I've seen from the Commitment to America, which is like their new agenda piece, is it just has like bullet points. It doesn't seem to say, and this bill will happen, and we tend to pass it by a certain date. Like the contract with America was, it had signatures on it, and they literally said in the first 100 days, and by God, they did it. This one feels so generic that there's not enough specificity that I've seen so far. Maybe you've seen different being up there in D.C. Dale Jackson, what do you think?
Well, I think specificity is the enemy here, right? I mean, what are we doing? What have we been saying over the last couple of weeks? Lindsey Graham, shut your mouth. Rick Scott, shut the hell up. Stop saying things about Social Security and abortion. You need these boilerplate things to say this is our general idea of what we'd like to do, given the, given the ability to do so. And you're trying to appeal to as many people as possible, and that's what they're trying to do. If you're looking for a heavily ideological document that they're going to implement on day one with a series of bills put in, that's not what this is supposed to be.
I tend to agree. Let me flip it back over to Jeff. Jeff, it was your own question, man. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm going to push back against that a little bit. I think you need a gimmick. I think you need a sales pitch, and this doesn't get the job done. I think you need like a Herman Cain 999 thing, something catchy. It doesn't necessarily have to be specific. It just has to be memorable and sound good. This doesn't get the job done. I'm very underwhelmed by this because it's the same thing Republicans have been talking about at least the last 2 years, if not longer, into supply chain, dependence on China. Hold Washington accountable, one of the big bullets. I mean, it's just the same stuff. A lot of it's just the same stuff we've heard for 20 years now. And I would expect a little more creativity if they're really serious about this.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll be honest with you, man. If they come in tepid, if they come in and do the we're going to throw out Obamacare and then can't get it done, I think there's going to be some pretty serious angst in the streets, because the American public has about had it with not just Democrats but with tepid Republicans. So that's my thought. I tell you what, I'm gonna switch to Dale Boomer. So go ahead and flip me over to Dale real quick. Dale, you got the next question, brother. What you got?
Yeah, on the interest of our conversation, since we're up here talking about immigration mostly, I really wonder if this is this huge issue for most of Americans, as it looks like it's being made one by Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, and the media. They seem to be all over it. And I saw something that said the searches for immigration and crime far outpace searches for abortion, the raid at Mar-a-Lago, all this other stuff. Did this immigration thing come just at the right time for Republicans to ride that into the midterm?
Yeah, I'll take that first. I just did a segment on that right before y'all came on the air, and I quoted that same thing. I think it was my wife that actually sent me that study about the search engine production there. I totally think it did, and I made the point. I think it was that guy from New York, Charlemagne the God. He said that DeSantis and Abbott are geniuses in his mind because everybody's talking about it. Everybody is talking. Whether you agree with it or not, everybody's talking about it. This is kind of like the old George Wallace thing about, as long as they spell your name right, it's still PR. Doesn't matter what they say. Well, in this case, everybody's talking about it, and it's putting it right back in the forefront of the minds of the American voters. So I do think it has become far more of an issue than it would have been had we not seen a plane load fly to Martha's Vineyard. Let me switch it over to Jeff real quick. Jeff, did you hear the question from Dale?
Yeah, and I think it puts Democrats on defense, even though they're trying to play offense while they're supposed to be on defense. But look, we can't have two Americas. You can't have one set of rules for Del Rio, Texas, and one for Edgartown, Massachusetts. It forces Democrats to explain this. They're getting mocked all over the place for the way those people in Martha's Vineyard reacted to the arrival of those immigrants and upset their little happy community. But the average American is probably looking at that and saying, well, why not? I mean, sanctuary city, practice what you preach. So, no, I think it's a stroke of genius. That's what I would have preferred to see more from our congressional Republicans.
I totally agree. Let me flip back to Dale real quick. Dale, your own question, your thoughts on it.
Well, I think that it is hitting right at the right time, but how are they going to capitalize on it? You've got – I just saw a Democrat on Fox News not too long ago saying, look, we need the workers. And it's like, good Lord, these people have lost the plot. People do not want to hear that kind of stuff. So they're still going down this whole thing of calling for more workers. We need indentured servants. Let them in. I mean, so to me, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it does. That's just a lame. I mean, granted, there are those who do provide in the economy. I get it. But you know what? You can't say we've had 2.5 million flood across the border in the last year alone, over 4 million since Biden took office, and somehow those were all workers. I mean, it doesn't pass a smell test, not at all. All right, tell you what, let me bring it home. Here's my question. Mary Juana, so the marijuana, the Cannabis Commission here in Alabama has just been really working overtime trying to get medical marijuana in place. Communities all over the state, though, are actually having their meetings to determine whether they want to be an opt-in or an opt-out community. In your opinion, are there going to be communities that say no in Alabama to the idea of having cannabis dispensaries? And I'm going to jump over to Jeff first. So Boomer, hook me up with Jeff. Jeff, do you hear my question all right?
Yeah, I think there'll be a few. I guess it's as simple as just not passing anything or not doing anything, because what has to happen to get one of these dispensaries, right, that you have to go through your city council has to green light it. So you're hearing a Dothan, Daphne, Coleman of all places was 10 years ago was a dry city. But places like that are, say, green lighting the possibility of having one of these facilities, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But there's only four or five that the state's going to pick. So I think if you don't do anything, then that'll keep you pretty safe.
All right, so flip it over to Dale. So, Dale, you've had Mike Ball on your show multiple times. I'm sure he's extolled the virtues of medical marijuana to you, but what do you think? Are there going to be communities in the state that say no to it?
Yeah, there will be communities that opt out, but the bigger story is going to be how lame this medical marijuana is to the people who wanted, quote, medical marijuana because they thought it would be a door to get some weed. But they're not going to be able to do that, and they're not going to be able to get high, and they're going to find themselves very, very unhappy with the outcome that this is actually going to bring.
I totally agree. And I also think, I mean, it's still a slippery slope, but I also think that you're going to have some parents who are going to think that this is the best thing that my child needs, and then they're going to get real frustrated when they realize they're, because of whatever is in their own lives, they're not qualified to administer to their child, and they have to have a special caregiver come into their house to administer to their child. It's going to be fraught with all kinds of weirdness, and we're going to be seeing it dealt with for a while. All right, fellas, we are flipping the phones back and forth, but that's end of round one for the Triple Dipper. I appreciate you guys calling in from D.C. Hang tight. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back and go to round two of the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News and Dale Jackson, WVNN up in Huntsville, as well as Yellowhammer News and little old me, Phil Williams. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. So I am right now back into the Grand Council with my brothers, Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5, Dale Jackson from WVNN. Round two of the Grand Council. I'm going to Jeff first, Boomer, so hit me with some Jeff. Jeffro, what's your second question?
So Governor Ivey this morning was part of a big electric vehicle push. Electric vehicles in Alabama, supposedly another one of these great economic things we're going to do in Alabama that's going to have so many people getting jobs. Rumor has it that, well, if y'all remember, part of the Rebuild Alabama Act in 2019 that, well, it was just fair for electric vehicles not to have to pay into the system as much as they don't use as much gasoline. So the legislature, in its infinite wisdom, added a tax. I don't know what it is, $150 a year or something extra like that. I can't remember. But anyway, there might be a push to take that away and do away with that. So I'm kind of curious what you guys think of that as a possibility, if electric vehicles, to incentivize more Alabamians perhaps to go electric.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll jump on that one. And by the way, I was going to go down the same road. I've got the Governor Ivey electric vehicle thing on my list for number two, but I got a different version of it. So let me back up your question, Jeff. You're saying that there's a tax already on electric vehicles in the midst of that gas tax that was passed in 2019?
Yeah, so the Rebuild Alabama Act, they levy a fee on electric vehicles to make up for the difference. So it's already on the books. But what there may be a push. What we may see at the very beginning of the session is a push to remove that because we are making electric vehicles here in Alabama, and it's going to tie into some kind of economic development nonsense.
I'll be honest with you. I'm of the mind that the way things have been going down in Montgomery lately, they might be inclined to raise it. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if they don't go, hey, man, there's going to be more EVs out there. We got to find a way to make more money off that. What are we going to do? We got to rebuild Alabama 19 times. And so I'm not going to be a bit surprised that it doesn't go from 150 to 300 or find some kind of way to, you know, tax them for vehicle inspections or something. But I don't think they're going to wind up stripping it away. I think they're going to wind up leaving it in place or finding a way to raise it. Flip me over to Dale there real quick, Boomer. Dale, what's your thought?
I don't think they will have any incentive to do away with it unless it's tied directly somehow to some other kind of economic development. If they can figure out a way to do that, then yes, that'll be their reasoning. But short of that, I don't think there's any love for electric vehicles amongst the general populace right now. And in fact, it's become such a political issue. You're right. Maybe they do say, oh, yeah, we're going to raise the taxes on those guys. If they want to live like California, let them. We'll tax them higher.
No doubt. No kidding. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and grab the next question then because I'm going to keep the same theme going. So, yeah, Governor Ivey in her comments this morning She actually said that Alabama needs to lean forward on electric vehicle production. In her words, I think she said something along the lines of, if California wants them, then we'll be glad to build them and send them to them. All right, I get it. If there's going to be something built and it's got a market, then ain't no reason why Alabama can't be one of the ones profiting from building it. But then again, with the trends that Dale just mentioned of the anti-EV sentiments and the concerns about what's going to do to the grids overall to charge vehicles, are we going all in on something that may wind up having less production than we thought? So, Jeff, you are first on that one. What's your thought on it?
Real quick housekeeping, $200 a year on all electric and $100 a year on hybrids. And Danny Garrett in a story up on 1819 News said he doesn't think that's going to be enough to overcome the difference if more people go electric. So anyway, leaning into electric vehicles, I can't imagine the F-150 average person from Coleman, Alabama or wherever is really going to be hip to this idea. This just isn't something. Why is the governor involved in this in the first place? Of all the problems in this state, why in the hell is the governor going around talking about electric vehicles? That seems like that ought to be a priority way, way, way down the list. I don't need the governor of Alabama telling me what I can drive or what I should drive or whatever. But, I mean, if she wants to say that about it, you know, sell them to California, that's fine, I guess. I just think she's got some other bigger fish to fly.
Well, because she's hip, man. She's hip. It's the latest thing. It's the thing to talk about. And at the same time,
she's not driving. She's not going to be driving. No, Prius, just stop.
No, you know she's not. Anyway, I'll flip it over to Dale real quick. Let me get his candid comments. Dale Jackson, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I'm of two minds on this. I think you're right that the average person in Coleman, Alabama isn't going to drive, but this isn't for her. This is about manufacturing the cars. If they were talking about like signing on to what California is doing, you know, I can understand where you're coming from. But on this, they're just making them. So fine, we'll make them and ship them out. Go ahead, drive those cars in California. It'd go completely nuts. And I think that Ivy is actually sounding pretty smart on this one. So, old Grandma K doing a good job.
Yeah, here's my only concern on that, and this is my point, is I'm afraid we're going to go so all in on our production that we're going to find out later on that China controls most of the cobalt mining or whatever else. It's going to slow production, and then we're going to be sitting in a spot where we ramped up for a different direction and left behind what we could have been doing quite well at. And so I just question whether we're going all in on something that may not be everything it's cracked up to be. Dale, we got about a minute, brother. You want to throw a question at us?
Yeah, I'm the only person that cares about this. The partisanization of school board races and mayoral races need to happen. AL.com came out and ran a story about how this candidate said that she's actually a secret liberal, didn't want to tell anyone so she could get the election the day after the election. I'm done with this garbage. Aren't you guys?
I will chime in on that one real quick and say we had Angela McClure on the show the day before the election. It's obvious she was a conservative in the race. It's obvious the liberal was her opponent, who is now suddenly claiming to be a liberal. Jeff, your thoughts on it now?
Yeah, well, your new mayor there, if he had to run as a Democrat, there might be a less of a chance that he would have been elected mayor in Gadsden. So I don't think it's going to happen, guys. Should it happen? Yeah, but look, I said this to Dale the other day. Don't think the legislature is going to go. They're not going to lean into this one at all.
Good point. All right, fellas, be careful up there in our nation's capital. Appreciate you calling in from afar. That's Dale Jackson, WVNN morning show guy, program director, and writes for Yellowhammer, and Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, and the executive editor of 1819 News, and little old me, the Grand Council. All right, y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back. Talk about high times in Bama.